Well, hey, if you have your Bibles this morning, you can open them up to Genesis chapter 6. Today we're continuing our series titled The Bible, A True Story. And in this series, we've been walking through the Bible. Kind of amazing, right? The title, A Bible, A True Story. We're actually walking through the Bible. We're kind of taking a close look at some of the amazing stories and things that happen in the Bible. And just this word that God has given us so that we can better know Him and know who He desires us to be. And so far, as we kicked this off a few weeks back, we've looked at the story of creation. We've looked at how it all began. Then we kind of took some time. We looked at the fall, right, where sin entered the world. We looked at the story of Cain and Abel, right, as we began to see kind of the horrible consequences of allowing sin into our world. And then last week, we actually started talking about Noah, right? And how in a world that had become completely corrupt and evil, he was able to find favor in the eyes of the Lord. And today we're gonna look at Noah once again, as we're gonna kind of dive a little bit deeper into his story and what we know about Noah through the Bible. And just the fact that he was a man of faith who we know built an ark, right? And he ended up saving the human race and the animals that we have in this world today. And so before we dive into Genesis 6, if you can kind of leave your finger there at Genesis 6 this morning, I want to start by reading a verse found in Hebrews chapter 11. Now, you don't have to flip there if you don't want. I'm going to actually put it up on the screen. But many of you are familiar with this section of Scripture. This section of Scripture in Hebrews 11 is often referred to as the Hall of Faith, right? We've heard of the Hall of Fame, right? Well, this is the Hall of Faith, and they call it that because in this chapter, it talks about all the great men and women of faith who were considered faithful in the eyes of the Lord. And Hebrews 11:7, which I want to read to you this morning, talks specifically about Noah. And that's why I want to start with it here. So Hebrews 11:7, this is what it says. By faith, Noah, when warned about things not yet seen, in holy fear built an ark to save his family. By his faith he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness that comes by faith. Now it tells us here that what Noah did, it was by faith. So from this statement we know that Noah was considered by God to be a man of faith. And this morning, I want to look at a few things that we can learn from Noah when it comes to this idea of faith. And so let's jump in now to Genesis 6, where we are in our series here through the Bible, and take a closer look at this man whose name is Noah, and what it is that made him a man of faith. And so we're going to begin in verse 9 of chapter 6 and read through verse 22. This is what it says. This is the account of Noah. Noah was a righteous man, blameless among the people of his time, and he walked with God. Noah had three sons, Shem, Ham, and Japheth. Now, the earth was corrupt in God's sight and was full of violence. God saw how corrupt the earth had become, for all the people on earth had corrupted their ways. So God said to Noah, I am going to put an end to all people, for the earth is filled with violence because of them. I am surely going to destroy both of them and the earth. We talked about this last week. And then verse 14, it says, So make yourself an ark of cypress wood. Make rooms in it and coat it with pitch inside and out. This is how you are to build it. The ark is to be 450 feet long. That's longer than a football field, okay? 75 feet wide, 45 feet high. Make a roof for it and finish the ark to within 18 inches of the top. It was a sunroof in their day is what that was kind of. Put a door in the side of the ark and make lower, middle, and upper decks. I am going to bring floodwaters on the earth to destroy all life under the heavens. Every creature that has the breath of life in it, everything on earth will perish. But I will establish my covenant with you, and you will enter the ark, you and your sons, and your wife and your sons' wives with you. You are to bring into the ark two of all living creatures, male and female, to keep them alive with you. Two of every kind of bird, of every kind of animal, of every kind of creature that moves along the ground will come to you to be kept alive. You are to take every kind of food that is to be eaten and store it away as food, for you and them. Noah did everything just as God commanded him. Here we have the famous story of Noah and the ark. And as we look at this story, which, by the way, I believe is a true story. As we talked about when we began this series, that these aren't just made-up stories. There's a lot of people like, oh yeah, the Bible's great. It's got a lot of great stories, right? But they aren't just made-up stories. As followers of Jesus, we believe these stories to be true accounts of what took place since the beginning of creation, that God actually did these things. These things actually happened. And so as we look at this story, there are a couple things that I want to point out this morning in regards to Noah and faith. Because the truth is, faith shows itself in so many different ways. If I asked you, hey, give me a definition of faith, I bet all of us could come up with different definitions, and they're probably all right, right? There are so many different definitions of faith, numerous ways that we can express faith in our lives. But in these two sections of scriptures that we read this morning, I want to talk about two specific ways that Noah demonstrated his faith. And so that's what I want to highlight this morning. The first one is this, is that he believed even when he couldn't see it. He believed even when he couldn't see it. If you look back at Hebrews 11:7, which we read at the beginning, it says, by faith Noah, when warned about things not yet seen, he built an ark. You see, faith at times is believing even when we can't see it, when it's not touchable, right? When it's not there in front of us. How many of us have heard the phrase, seeing is believing, right? That's what we hear a lot. We've heard that phrase. The truth is, that's how most of the world determines what they believe in, right? If they can see it, they'll believe it, right? If they can't see it, then I don't believe it. We want to see it to believe it. Now, I know I've been guilty of falling into this idea of belief myself at times. There are times in my life where I'm like, I don't know, if I can't see it, I don't know if I'm going to believe it. But here we see that Noah had faith in something that he couldn't see, that wasn't right there in front of him. Think about that, and think about that in the terms of Noah. Try to put yourself in Noah's shoes, or his sandals, or bare feet. I'm not sure if they had footwear at that time. I know Nike didn't quite come out yet back then. But the idea is, put yourself in Noah's place, right? Put yourself where Noah was. He lived in a world that God himself described as evil, right? As corrupt. And so he and his family, they were the only ones that weren't. They were the only ones that weren't evil and corrupt. And think about that. What if you were the only one that showed up at church today? You walk in here, And no one else is here. And I'm not just talking about showing up at Dallas Four Square Church. I'm saying, what if you were the only one that showed up at any church today? Right? You're the only person, the only follower of God still around. You see, we think our world is bad, right? I hear people, oh gosh, our world today. You know, we think our world is bad. We think our nation is falling apart. And maybe that is true compared to past years or whatever. I don't know. We have all these thoughts, but at least we have other Christians around us to encourage us and to partner with us on this journey of serving the Lord. Noah and his family, they had no one. Everybody was evil. This fact alone would have made it very difficult and very challenging to remain faithful, to be people of faith. And if that wasn't enough, God is now having him do something kind of crazy, right? Now God is having him build this huge, giant ark. We can only imagine how other people may have responded in this time. The Bible doesn't actually tell us this. As a matter of fact, when I was kind of trying to find and study this a little bit, like, what did people say things? What not? I found some interesting blogs and articles. One was about this Sunday school, a father that was helping teach Sunday school. And he was asking the question. He's like, you know, in my kid's Sunday school lesson, it says, oh, the people mocked Noah, and they did all these things and said all these things. And they're like, I tried to find it in the scriptures so I could read scripture to the kids, and I can't find it anywhere. And in reality, it does not say that anywhere in the Bible. Nowhere does it say what happened. Now, we can assume and we can guess that how evil and corrupt the world was, that these things probably happened. But there is no actual proof to that. And I thought that was interesting. And they just talked about, yeah, maybe we need to read through these children things before we actually say them to our kids. Because I know there are a lot of times things that I learned when I was a kid that I'm like trying to go to the scriptures and find. I'm thinking, oh, now I see why. They kind of interject their own little things in there, and it's maybe not necessarily true. And so we don't know for sure. But there are some things when you think about, you can go, okay, but maybe it could happen, right? With as corrupt the world is, it wouldn't surprise me if Noah was kind of the laughing stock of his community, you know? Have you seen old man Noah over there? He's building this ark, right? You know, it's like, what the heck is an ark anyways? And I'm sure they didn't use the word heck, okay? These were evil and corrupt people, right? You know? And so we can imagine what it was like. We can only, you know, imagine or process in our heads what the kind of ridicule and problems Noah and his family dealt with at this time. And so if all that's true, I imagine it took a great deal of faith and courage for Noah and his family to remain faithful, to keep building the ark when they keep mocking you or saying those things. Like I said, we don't know for sure, but there's a good chance that these people were kind of like, what's he doing? Or just looked at as this crazy person. And so he's doing something that people don't understand, that he can't even see. And as I studied, I found that there are a lot of ideas and speculations as to what it's referring to in Hebrews 11:7 when it says things not yet seen. Some people believe it's the idea of rain, that's what he hadn't seen, this idea of rain. They believe that before this time it had never rained, and so maybe that's what they're referencing here. We don't know, again, for sure. There's no real evidence or scripture that tells us this. Others believe that maybe it's just this idea of a flood covering the whole earth. You know, I mean, think about how crazy it would be to think of this whole world around you filling up with water. And like, where would the water come from? You know, how would this all happen? All the mountains and the trees and everything completely covered with water. It'd be hard to believe that. It'd be hard to imagine what that would look like. Again, the Bible isn't specific here, but here's the thing. Either way, it doesn't matter what it is. The fact is, Noah believed that God would do what he said he would do, even though he couldn't see it. Even though it wasn't something that was within his grasp to grab a hold of and to touch and to feel and to see. When we look to the future and we can't see where God's taking us, do we have faith? Are we willing to keep going and to trust in the Lord? Sometimes we have to believe and trust in Him even when we can't see it. It's all about stepping out in faith. You know, that's why we refer to it as our faith, right? Oftentimes when we're following Jesus, it's actually kind of blind faith. We don't know what lies ahead. We don't know what the future holds. What's going to happen if I take this leap of faith? What's going to happen to me? When I think about this, I always think about Indiana Jones and the Last Crusade, okay? I don't know if we have any Indiana Jones fans out here, but Indiana Jones was in my era, all right? At least the early ones, not the one that came out later. But the Indiana Jones, that was from my era. I grew up with Indiana Jones, man. I had my whip, you know. I wanted to be Indiana Jones, man. You know, I probably almost lost my eye a few times. Couldn't quite wield that whip like he did. My sister probably got the wrath of it a few times too. It's really cool in the movie. He like grabs him and pulls him back. I didn't mean to like slap her across the face with my whip. But I grew up in the Indiana Jones era, and I remember seeing The Last Crusade in the theater. And if you haven't seen it, there's this scene in the movie where he comes to this cliff. He needs to get to the other side, and there's no way across. And after kind of reading and processing you through kind of the clues and ideas, they come to this conclusion, oh, it's a leap of faith. There's something there. You just got to step out and trust, and it'll be there, you know. And they don't know for sure. They believe that there's actually an invisible path that will keep them from falling to their death. But it's literally a leap of faith. He won't know if he's right or wrong until he takes that leap of faith. And eventually he gets the courage and he steps out and he's like floating on the air on that invisible bridge, right? And if you watch the movie, you know, later in life you can pause and stop in those spots and you can see the bad special effects. Like, oh, I see how they did it. There's glass there. You can see the reflections, you know. Wasn't done very well. It looked a lot cooler today with all the special effects they can do today. But here's the thing. I love this clip because it's a perfect illustration of what it means to walk in faith, to take a leap of faith. It's how Noah lived his life. Noah believed even when he couldn't see it. And he took that step. He took that leap of faith, and it ultimately saved his life, and it saved the lives of his family. And God is calling us to learn to be people like Noah who walk in faith, who believe at times even when we can't see it, even when it's not right there in front of us. Now, the second thing we can learn from these scriptures about Noah is this. He put his belief into action. In Genesis 6:22, it says, Noah did everything just as God commanded him. You see, faith at times is then putting our belief into action. God said, build an ark. So Noah built an ark. He did exactly what God told him to do. As we mentioned, belief is an important part of faith, right? We have to believe. But it tells us in James 2:17 that faith without action is dead, right? We can say we believe all we want, but there comes a point where we have to then prove it, right? We have to put our faith into action. Now, I want to share with you an illustration. I know I've shared it once or twice before. I tried to look back in my notes. The last time I see that I shared it was like back in 2014. So some of you may have heard it, but it's a perfect illustration when it comes to what we're talking about this morning. So I'm going to share it again, okay? And if you've heard it before, it just will resonate with you once more, all right? But it's the story of the tightrope walker, and it's this story of this tightrope walker from the late 1800s. Who did incredible aerial feats. All over Paris, he would do tightrope acts of at tremendously scary heights with no net. Basically, if he fell, he would most likely die or be injured very badly. He would walk across the rope blindfolded. He would go across the tightrope blindfolded while pushing a wheelbarrow. He would do it blindfolded, pushing a wheelbarrow with someone in the wheelbarrow. You know, he did all different things. And so there was an American promoter who read about this in the papers and wrote a letter to tightrope walker saying, sir, I hear these stories of what you're doing all over Paris. but I don't believe it's actually true. Although, I'm willing to make you an offer. For a very substantial amount of money, plus all your transportation and traveling fees, I would like to challenge you to come to America and to do your act over Niagara Falls. The man wrote back, "Sir, although I have never been to America and seen the falls, I've never said no to a challenge. So I'd love to come and take you up on this offer." Now, after a ton of promotion and a ton of hype, numerous people came to see this event. He started out on the Canadian side and came across to the American side. As the drums rolled, he came across the wire, which was suspended over the treacherous part of the falls, blindfolded, with a wheelbarrow, and someone in it. He made it across easily, and the crowd went wild. He then approached the promoter and said, "Well, Mr. Promoter, now do you believe I can do it?" "Well, of course I do. I just saw it. Well done." "No, no, no," said the man. "Do you really, truly believe I can do it?" "Of course. Like I said, I just saw it." "No, no, no, no. Do you believe I can do it?" "Yes," said the promoter. "I believe you can do it." "Good," said the man. "Get in the wheelbarrow." I love this illustration because it's one thing to say, "Yeah, I believe." It's another thing to get into the wheelbarrow. It's another thing to prove it. True faith is being willing to put our beliefs into action. It's really being willing to get into God's wheelbarrow, to fully put our faith in God. Noah didn't just believe in what he couldn't see. Noah acted upon that belief. He actually built the ark. And he did it exactly how God told him to. Why? Because he was a man of faith. He believed in God. He believed what God had told him to do, and so he did it. The reality is, it's not just enough to say we believe. There are many people, a lot of people say, "Oh yeah, I believe in God." But are they really putting their faith into action? Because I've seen many times when God has challenged people to step out in faith and they fail to do it. They allow fear and doubt to cause them to actually question their faith. "Well, yeah, maybe God, that's not exactly what God said. No, 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 he doesn't really want me to do that. Come on, that's crazy, right?" I think we all have gone through this at times, and we all have to ask ourselves, where are we at when it comes to our faith? Where are we at in this area of faith, of putting our beliefs into action, or believing in things not yet seen? Because this is what we see Noah do. And I really believe that this is ultimately what God desires of all of us. Now, he knows we're human. He knows we're not perfect. He knows we're going to fail. And his grace abounds in our lives. But I believe his desire is that we would be people of faith who walk in faith. And my encouragement for all of us this morning is that we would be seeking the Lord. "God, I love you. I want to serve you. I want to live the life that you've called me to live." That we'd be seeking God and asking him to give us this same kind of faith that we saw in Noah. It's that scripture that we hear in the Gospels, "Lord, help me with my unbelief," right? Because many of us are like, "Oh, Lord, I want to believe, but help me with my unbelief." Because this kind of faith, it really only comes through the power of the Holy Spirit in our lives. It's not something, we can't just, "Okay, I'm going to be a man of faith. I'm going to do it. We can't just drum it up on our own, right? It comes through the power of the Holy Spirit. The fact is we were given the Holy Spirit so that God's gifts could become evident in our life. And did you know that faith is actually a spiritual gift. When you look into the scriptures and you look at some of the spiritual gifts that it talks about in Acts that are given to his people as we walk in the power of the Spirit, it's one of the gifts of the Holy Spirit, this faith, this ultimate faith in the Lord. And as we learn to walk in the power of the Holy Spirit, we're able to experience his faith in our lives. And one of the amazing things is that it takes just a little bit of faith, right? We want to be these great people of faith, but the Bible tells us it just takes a little bit of faith. Listen to what it says in Matthew 17:20. Jesus says this, "Truly I tell you, if you have faith as small as a mustard seed, you can say to this mountain, move from here to there, and it will move. Nothing will be impossible for you." Faith as small as a mustard seed. Do any of you know how small a mustard seed is? It's tiny. I have a picture up here. I took this off the internet. I looked up mustard seeds. That right there, you know, that's a hand. That's an average size hand, just in case you're like going, wow, that hand's huge. Okay, that's an average-sized hand, okay? And that little seed at the top, that's a mustard seed. It's so tiny in comparison. You know, when we think of things that are big, when we think of people, oh, man, you know, Noah, Abraham, Moses, these guys, they must have had just this amazing amount of faith. But Jesus says it takes just a little bit of faith, just the faith of a mustard seed, just a little bit of faith. But the thing is it just takes a little bit of faith from us. But as we give that faith to the Lord and allow the Holy Spirit to develop that faith in our lives, then it becomes the kind of faith that believes even when we can't see it. It becomes the kind of faith that helps us take the leap and actually put our beliefs into action. And that's the kind of faith that I know I want to have. I want to be a man of faith who like Noah, believes when he can't see it, who puts his belief into action. That's the kind of faith I want to have, and I hope, or I'm hoping that that's the kind of faith that all of us want to have, and that's my prayer for us this morning. Amen? Will you pray with me? Lord, we thank you for this morning. We thank you for this opportunity just to gather as a body of believers in your presence, Lord. I thank you for every person here, Lord. You created each of us. You love each and every one of us. And your desire is that all of us would come to know you, to experience you in our life, to be people who walk in faith, Lord. That we become people who live the way Noah lived, Lord. Who desire to serve you in a way where we have faith in things not yet seen. Where we live in a way where we step out in faith, Lord. We put our belief into action. And Lord, like I said, there are so many different ways that we express faith. But this morning, these are ways that we saw from Noah. And Lord, it's ways that you want us to grow in our faith in you. And so, Lord, I just pray that you help us, Lord, to grow in this kind of faith. That again, that this comes from the power of the Holy Spirit in our lives, Lord. As we seek you, as we ask you into our lives, Lord, you fill us with your Holy Spirit. And it's our job to allow the Holy Spirit, Lord, to guide us and direct us, to allow the Holy Spirit to help us grow in our faith and in the things of you, Lord. And so that's what I pray this morning, that, Lord, we would become people of faith who grow in you. Who grow in the things of you and begin to live the lives that you've called us to live, Lord. Lord, we know we're human. We know we make mistakes. We know that none of us are perfect. But we want to do our best to live the way that you desire us to live. We want to do our best to be people that let our light shine, Lord. That people are drawn to because they see what you're doing in and through us. And they want to know what's different. They want to know why is there this joy? Why is there these attitudes, even in the midst of brokenness and darkness in our world, how we can continue to stay faithful to you, Lord. And so, Lord, I know that's what I want for me, and I pray that that's what all of us want, to grow in our faith in you. And so we give it to you this morning, Lord. May you just encourage us, Lord. I love that we're all at different spots in our journey with you, Lord. We're all at different places, Lord. As we're on this road of life, Lord, we find ourselves in different areas. But, Lord, I love that you're a God that meets us right where we're at. And I pray this morning that you allow this word just to meet each of us right where we're at, to help us become the men and women of God that you have called us to be, Lord, to trust in you, to trust in your hand upon our life. We thank you for these things. We just give these things to you this morning, and we pray them in Jesus' precious name. Amen.